Let's take our Bibles and turn back to the book of Genesis, chapter 16. This particular passage of Scripture, as I said last time, is a beautiful type, picture, of the rescue, salvation of God's elect. Hagar, Abram, Sarai. Between the three have tried to come up with a plan. A set of ways that they can make good on God's promise. That's the way of man by nature. To try to, by his own works, by his own power, come about and bring about the will of the Lord. The Lord had promised Abram a seed. He promised it. And of course, being past the age that normally men and women, you know, have children, they figured Sarai being the one that initiated the thought, told Abram. Abram hearkened to her voice. It must be that God meant for my handmaid to have a child for Sarai. That was her bond slave. So whatever she'd have would be Sarai. That's the way the Lord meant it to be. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything impossible for God? What does a woman past the age of childbearing got to do with it? God spoke this world into existence out of nothing. He said, let there be, and it was. He is God Almighty. He does as He will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no man stays his hand or says to him, what doest thou? Well, she's in the wilderness. And being in the wilderness, she's going back to Egypt because she's going through the land of Shur. And you look at a map and going from Canaan to Egypt, you're going to have to go through the land of Shur. And she's by a fountain, Scripture said. We looked at that last time. And the Lord spoke to her in verse 8, called her by name. That's the way the Lord calls His people. I know my sheep. I call them by name. I said before, last week, I don't know if Hagar was a believer. But if she wasn't a believer, she's a beautiful picture of how God calls His people. And from the conversation that we're going to see before this passage is over, Lord willing, I lean real heavily just from her submission and her confession. But we'll leave that in the hands of the Lord. God knows. But the Lord spoke to her in verse 8, and He said, Hagar. Then He addresses her in the position that she is. Sarai's maid. Whence camest thou? And whither wilt thou go? Where'd you come from? Where'd any of us come from? We came from Adam. We were born in trespasses and sins. In us, this is where we've come from. We've come from rebellion against God. Where are you going? Well, but for the grace of God, she's going back to Egypt. She's going back to bondage. That's where she wanted to go. and leave a man, a woman to themselves, and that's where they want to go. That's what we want to do. Why are men and women not sitting constantly trying to pack a place where the gospel is being preached? The only message that God blesses, the only message that God blesses, that's what Hagar left. Abram, Scripture's already borne out. Abram's a believer. As far as we know, the only one that we know of. And his wife Sarah. And God Almighty had met with Abram and made a covenant and a promise to him. And where Abram was, the house of Bethel, that's where he met the Lord. And he raised up an altar and he worshiped God. And he worshiped God and he worshiped God. Hagar had heard the gospel before. She'd heard the gospel. But obviously she didn't hear it. Going back to Egypt. That's where I'm going back. She's going back. How many have heard? I started to say, why is it that you don't have places where God's raised up the gospel? Why is it that those places you can't get in, they're so packed, you can't, why is it they don't want to come? They don't want to. They don't want to hear. That's what she's doing. I don't want to hear. But the Lord crossed her path. God crossed her path. And we pick up in verse 10 and 11, it says, "And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, that is, God shall hear, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." Now here we see, assuredly, this is God Almighty, the angel of the covenant. Because in him speaking to her, he mercifully tells her what she will do and what he will do. The angel of the Lord, verse 10, said unto her, "I will multiply thy seed." If this was a created angel, a messenger, he would have said something to the effect of, "The Lord will." But here, the angel of the Lord himself, the angel of the covenant, God's servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, Behold, thou art with child, shall bear a son, shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction." Now, he mercifully speaks in compassion and tells her that he has heard her affliction. Now, that is an amazing, that's amazing few words there. The Lord heard in her affliction. He heard from the depression and the misery of her heart. The word heard right there, it means to hear and to answer. God hears. God hears. God knows. He knows the thoughts. He knows the voice that he hears. He hears what men say. He knows what men think. You remember when he would speak to the Pharisees and he said, Why do you speak evil in your heart? They didn't say anything. He heard them. The Lord heard in her affliction. And though it's not recorded that she spoke, didn't say anything about her speaking, the Lord heard in her affliction. Isaiah 65:24, "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Before she said anything, God heard her. Now, obviously, as I said, the Lord hears all men. He knows. But it is a miracle of God's grace that he hears and will answer. Psalm 27:7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me." The Lord, who had promised to multiply her seed and make it that the number of her heritage would be a multitude according to the Lord's good pleasure, only he could say, "I will and you shall," and these things would be so. But he heard where she was. He knew her affliction. He knew the depth of her affliction. And he's going to answer her in mercy. Now, here's where I can relate to us. Here's a marvelous thought. Like Hagar, we don't know the depth of our problem. No. We don't know. Hagar was in a place, she had no earthly idea what she was running from. Had she known what she was true, if she truly knew it in her heart, she'd never left. She'd never left Abram's house. I know that there was problems between her and Sarah, but I'm telling you, if she knew it in her heart, but there was animosity. She didn't know. She didn't care, but she didn't know the depth. Man by nature doesn't know the depth of his rebellion against God. He doesn't know. She didn't know. But the Lord knew. And this one being, at least I'm saying a picture. I don't want to speak distinctly, but like all of God's elect, when the Lord is pleased to cross their paths, he crosses their paths, and in their affliction that they don't even know. They don't know the depth of it, but the Lord hears it. The Lord sees it. He beholds it. And for all that he's chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ, those that he's loved with an everlasting love and has chosen to show mercy, he hears their affliction. He heard in her affliction. He heard it. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because, listen, he delighteth in mercy. Here was one who was in need of mercy. That the Lord would not do to her what she deserved. But is there any of us that's not like her? Before the Lord calls us out of darkness, we deserve judgment. That's what we deserved. That's what she deserved. And the Lord has given her a word of encouragement. He comes to her, and here she is now running. That's what she's doing. I can only imagine what she's thinking. Now just put yourself in her place. It wasn't her idea. It was Sarah's idea. Abram's idea. She was the handmaid. This is what's going to happen. That's what happened. And now she's cast out. She truly despised Sarah, no doubt. But she's out. Now she's with child. And she's out in the wilderness. None eye to pity her. And here she is. She's out there. I'm a victim of circumstance. Now what do I do? What do I do now? And the Lord crosses her path and hears in her affliction and promises her that there's going to be a big multiplication of her seed. her seed wouldn't be able to be numbered, and she's gonna bear a son. And the Lord said to her, this is going to be his name, Ishmael. God shall hear. And she's hearing what the Lord is saying to her. And then as he's encouraging her and now telling her she must go back and submit herself to Sarai, but in the midst of that revelation, a promise was made that would, but for the sustaining grace of God, would shake the very foundation of this mother to be. The Lord continues to reveal his will to her and his purpose for Hagar and for her son, telling her that now he starts telling her about her son. Look at verse 12. And he said, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now, this is what the Lord has said concerning this son that she's going to have. Lord says, you're going to have a son. This is what his name is going to be. And you're going to the seed is going to greatly multiply. But this boy that you're going to have, he's going to be a wild man. One running wild as a donkey or an ass, as the word is. He's going to be rude. He's going to be bold, fearing no man. He's going to be an untamed, impatient man that's living in strife and having his hand against every man and every man's hand against him. This is going to be his demeanor. And he's going to dwell in the presence of all his brethren, living in the midst of those that are just like him. Now that's the revelation that the Lord gave her of her son that she's getting ready to have. The Lord said, this is the way it's going to be. This is what kind of son you're going to have. But even hearing those things from the Lord himself concerning who her son was going to be, listen to the confession of this one that for sure, again, sets forth the heart and nature of a believer. One that bows to the will of the Lord. This is what she says in verse 13. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, thou God seest me. This is what she said. Lord, you are the one that have looked, you've looked upon this needy vessel. And Lord, you've seen me, and you know me. You know me for what I am. Now you think, put yourself right here, you that know him. Is this not the confession of every believer? Thou, God, seest me. I was mulling over this right here, thinking, how long has the Lord seen the vessels of his mercy? He's always seen them. How long has he loved them? He's always loved them. How long did he see them in his son before the foundation of the world? They've always been beloved, seen, vessels, objects of his mercy and compassion. The Lord had seen her when she was in Egypt, before Sarai and Abram ever met her, saw her taken out, saw her in the house of Abram before he revealed himself to her, watched over her, protect her. That's how he does his people. Ordering their steps, he put her right where she was. He saw her. Saw her in the attempt to produce an heir. Saw her cast out. Saw her in the wilderness by that fountain, going through that land of Shur. Saw her going back to Egypt and stopped her. Like he did Saul of Tarsus. God's always seen his people. And she's been made to know it. She called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, Thou God seest me. In the depth of her distress, here she is, found, called of God, named her her son, and she called him. This is the God that sees. This is the God that sees. But here's the blessing. He's looked at me. He looked at me. And blessed me. He looked at me in my pitiful state. Been pleased to have mercy and compassion. Can it be that he's been touched with the feeling of my infirmity? Can it be that he's called me unto himself? And then the scripture says, that latter part, Thou God seest me, for she said, Have I also here looked after him that seeth me? Here's what she's saying. Have I looked for the Lord when the Lord looked after me? Is it that I love him because he first loved me? Has the grace of God looking upon me wrought grace in me to look to him? Is this what has happened? She's got a heart to answer him in obedience and submission. He just told her what her son was going to be like. And she didn't say anything about that. Didn't say anything about that not being fair. Of all I've gone through? No, sir. Thou, God, seest me. You have looked on this pitiful lump of clay. Of all that I've done, of all that I've been through. And Lord, have you given me a heart to look to you? Hagar, surely she reflected on that events that took place and her rebellion, and she knew that she had not thought upon the Lord until he revealed himself. Everything that Abram had preached, he knew God. He taught his household. He taught them. They were taught. You can bet Abraham believed God. Abraham knew the gospel. And those around him heard the gospel. She'd heard it. But here the Lord meets with her. And now she's heard it. She's heard the message. Now, and what peace that this ought to be wrought in our hearts, that the Lord who sees and cares has seen and cared for us. Psalm 34:15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. What comfort for needy vessels like us to contemplate that he who sees would look upon us. 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. This is how God sees all of his people. He sees them in their sorrow. Those that he loves, he marks their sighs, their distress, the complaints of their heart, with an eye of sympathy and a heart of compassion. By grace, he crosses their path when it's time. They get under the gospel. They're going to hear the truth. They're going to hear it. He's going to open their heart. And he draws them, gives them faith to believe. And with her mouth, she confessed him. Oh, just all his struggling children. That's the way they do. Children that he ever views in mercy. Come unto me, all ye that labor heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And having made known unto her his mind of mercy and compassion. The very place where God met with her was a special place to her. The scripture says in verse 14, wherefore the well was called Beer Lehi Roi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. Beer Lehi Roi. It means the well of him that liveth and seeth me. That the Lord saw her was a precious thought to Hagar. And it's a precious thought to all of God's people. I look around and I think to myself, there's times that I look in a place like we are. How many that don't have a heart to come? And I think that the Lord would see me, that the Lord would call me. She named that well Beer Lehi Roi, the well of him that liveth and seeth me, a precious place of thankfulness. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to say something that's not so, but I just want to say this. Obviously, this is just a building. All it is just a building. It's just wood and, stone. It's got to be kept up. You got to fix these things and fix those things. But I'm telling you, to those that have sat in this place and places like this, where the Lord has been pleased to reveal Himself to you, we don't worship this building, but I'm telling you, this is a special place. It's a special place where the Lord's people meet. A place that God's raised up, established. A place. That well was just a well. That's all it was a well. But she named that well something. She named it that Beer Lehi Roi, that the well of him that liveth. This is where God met me. I bet you when Saul of Tarsus, I was talking about Saul of Tarsus a while ago. I bet you every time Saul, if he ever did, I don't know if he did, but I'll bet you every time he came to that spot in the road, on the road to Damascus, he was almost in Damascus when the Lord met with him. I bet you he never went past that spot that he didn't think about. It was right here. This is where I was. I know how people make a thing out of, I was delivered on a certain day at a certain hour, and I don't know. I remember a time when the Lord began to deal with me. But I can remember where I was when the Lord would speak. It was just a place. But it was a special place. You think Moses ever, if he ever did cross where that burning bush was, you ever think he ever went past that place and didn't think about when God met him there? This was a precious place. And the scripture says, and I'll be honest with you, it says that this Beer Lehi Roi, and it says, behold, it was between Kadesh and Bered. Now, I tried my best. I'm just going to be honest with you. I tried my best to look up and find where that was on the map. I could find Kadesh. I found Kadesh. But nobody that I've read could tell where Bered was. Nobody knows where that was. But obviously, it was there at some place. And the Spirit of God made a note of where that place was and the significance of it. Though we don't know where it is right now. I can't tell you exactly where it is. Nonetheless, it was a special place. Special. Whenever Moses met with God, that burning bush, he said, you take your shoes off. Where you stand is holy ground. This is holy ground. Holy ground. God was there. And Hagar said, this is where God met me. And that's the name of this well. That's what I called it, that well. In Hagar, verse 15, 16, bare Abram a son. And Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. I tell you something I noticed. I don't see that it's not recorded that Hagar, God told Hagar that that was going to be his name. And I don't read where Hagar ever told Abram, this is what God told me. I tell you what I think. I think the God that told Hagar that her son was going to be named Ishmael, the same God told Abram, her son's going to be named Ishmael. And I tell you what Abram did. He named him Ishmael. Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. Now, this son born to Hagar, according to the allegory, she was a picture of the bondwoman, and that which was born of the flesh is flesh, and slave can only produce a slave, and she was that allegory. Galatians 4 tells us that. But she was also a picture, beautiful picture, of how God saves His people. And how God calls them out of darkness. And how God deals with them in mercy. And she did have this boy, just like God said she was, and his name was Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old. He was 86 years old. What's the significance of that? Well, I don't know the totality of it, but I can tell you this. They went back. She did go back. And Abram was 100 years old when Isaac was born. The Lord's going to appear to him. We're going to see that in chapter 17. You can look at the first verse, how old Abram was whenever God met him. He was 99 years old when God spoke to him and told him, you're going to have a boy. You're going to have a son. He was 100 years old when Isaac was born. So he's 86 years old now. And for 14 years, they're going to be reminded of the need of waiting on God. He's going to be there, and you're going to watch that boy growing up. And Scripture is going to bear out. Abram loved him. He loved Ishmael. He loved that boy. He loved him. That was his son. That was his son. But the Lord's going to cause His people. He's going to bring them back, and He's going to remind them. Remind them of the necessity. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God that promises, God will provide. He will provide. Wait. Wait. I pray the Lord bless this to our hearts. For God's glory and our good. Amen. Okay, Gary.